Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Good morning, everyone. Ooh, it's a bloody morning. Coming up on today's show, man, the crypto collapse. Bitcoin is at a make or break level. Can it hold? Jim Cramer dumped all of his Bitcoin. What was he thinking? Amazon Prime Day continues today. Yeah, how many of you bought some stuff? And guess what? Workers are returning to having to go pee in bottles. We also have infrastructure news and some kind of shadiness happening with infrastructure and how Democrats are basically selling out to corporate Wall Street. Not a big surprise. And can you name the most popular ice cream truck treat? See if you can. What do you think it is? Do you guys know? Can you guys think of what the one where, you know, like they ring the bell and you have to run down to the curb and you have to order like that ice cream from the ice cream truck? Well, the list is in. See if your favorite one is on the list today. Morning Invest starts right now. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Let me know in the chat what you guys think. David is here. How you doing, my friend?
Good morning. I'm doing good. I wish I could have coffee delivered to me in the morning. That's one thing. Like, I don't want to have to leave.
Yeah, I don't want to leave the house either. Sometimes my wife brings it up to me. Grover is useless. He never brings it. You know, he never does anything like that. I wish he would today. I wish he would bring it. Hey, we also got another story on the show today. We're going to talk about Instagram. How many of you guys use Instagram? Numbers for Instagram right now. Looks like Instagram is dying. Is it a premature death? I mean, numbers starting to show a huge problem for Facebook. Like, how many of you use Instagram these days? Are you a big Instagrammer?
No, I don't even really post there. I mean, it's one of those apps that I'll be going through my apps and then I'll be like, oh, Instagram. And I'll go in there and I'll like five photos and then another month later.
Yeah, I don't really ever touch anything in there. And it's kind of really interesting to see some of the data. We'll show that to you this morning on the show. But boy, you know, if you're new to the show, welcome. We're live first thing in the morning here every morning. We're testing out some new time zone time frames because we're doing our live trading show a little bit later, right at the market open time, right at opening bell. And so I don't want to run up against that time because that's when a lot of the best trades for me end up happening. I think for us to be there live when that happens would be great. Sort of testing out two different streams. It's still a work in progress. And then, of course, David and I are both off next week. So this is sort of a test week. We're going to see how this works, going a little bit earlier in the morning just to see. And that way we don't have to be rushed through the news and content. But anyway, subscribe to the show if you're new here. We cover all of the important business news that I think is important for you and your family, not Wall Street. And we also have a daily newsletter, too. If you want to be more informed, learn something new every morning, you should join our daily newsletter, which is sent out by email right to your inbox every morning between 6 and 7 a.m. Eastern time. The best part is it's totally free. So go to morninginvest.com, put in your email address, be added to our list. It helps us keep doing what we're doing here. Plus, you get an awesome newsletter first thing in the morning. So, boy, let's dive into the markets. We're going to get to Bitcoin in just a second. We got some breaking news on Bitcoin. Actually, you know what? We're going to go there right now. Let's go to Bitcoin now because these numbers are just kind of all over the place for Bitcoin. So here we go. Bitcoin, for the first time in a while, breaking that 30,000 level, pushing down to levels that we have not seen in quite a while. And a lot of people saying this is I believe this is the level we needed to hold. Bitcoin bulls needed to hold this 30,000 level and show that they were here and that they were ready to go, and they couldn't do that. So just before we started the show, Bitcoin dropping to 29,000. You know what's crazy is when we're doing the morning newsletter, when we're doing the morning newsletter, like I'm putting in a price in there that's like a 32,000. And now that seems so old, doesn't it? Like, we published the newsletter like an hour ago. I mean, look how much it's moved since we published the newsletter. I mean, this is crazy territory now for Bitcoin. Look at this huge drop off just a short time ago. Let me get rid of that, the EMA ribbon here, but holy smokes, folks. So the real question is, you know, all right, now does it hit to 28? That's the next stop on the Bitcoin Express, 28,000.
I bet Michael Saylor wishes he would have waited just another day.
Yeah, to buy him. He now owns 100,000 Bitcoins.
That's crazy. And have you heard from him? Is he sweating or is he still?
I don't think that guy sweats because I think when he bought it like 32, 33, which where was it a few weeks ago? 64?
Yeah.
I mean, on its way to 70? Like, if you are a student of markets, you know that this is temporary. And look, all you need to do right now is look at the short charts here. This is Bitcoin shorting. Look at that. The shorts are back. So people are now we could even expect this to go lower. So these are Bitcoin short positions over the last few minutes here. And the Bitcoin shorters are back. They're expecting they're putting more money into the fact that this is going to go down even further. Bitcoin long positions, not so much. Bitcoin shorts, skyrocketing at the moment. So again, further decline for Bitcoin is coming. Again, I've been saying for weeks now we could hit that $20,000 Bitcoin range. So again, where we go from here is, it's not anyone's guess. We've got market and we've got indicators to show us where things are going. 28,000 is likely very soon. Maybe even during the show, we'll hit 28,000. Ethereum also down. Ooh, it hit my six. I wanted it to hit 18,000 or 1,800 so I could buy in and load up more Ethereum. Now it's in the 1,700 range. I mean, we were at $4,000 Ethereum just a short time ago. Where do you think it's going to go back to? Is this not, I'm not buying anything at the moment. I'm waiting till I see some of these patterns change. I see some of these longs start to stock up. But right now, here's the thing. What you need to realize, when people are selling right here, people are buying Bitcoin. Like, so I'm selling Bitcoin at this range. Someone's buying. Whales are buying. This is exactly what we talked about last week on the show, that this was going to happen. We were going to hear FUD out of China, news out of China. We were going to hear all sorts of other, scary media stories about Bitcoin. And the market's going to dump and the whales are waiting. We said it last Monday. Here it is. And they're buying it from people who are scared, who are being squeezed out of the market. So Bitcoin continuing its drop now could hit that 28,000 by the end of the show. So a lot of people bleeding this morning. I mean, just look at Dogecoin, 17 cents for Doge. Look at all this stuff. I'm not buying anything right now, but I'm waiting for things to settle down. And then once they do, look at enormous buying opportunities here, folks. All this stuff is discounted. Cardano, ADA, way down. And again, Ethereum, $1,700 Ethereum. I mean, wait till we see a move back on this one. There's going to be a lot of people who were here witnessing this happen, and they bought into the market in these time periods. There's a lot of people that are getting scared. And I'm actually surprised to see Jim Cramer. So Jim Cramer last night on Mad Money, Squawk on the Street, admitting that he sold all of his Bitcoin. He sold out of it. He's like, I'm sold almost all of my Bitcoin. Here's one guy.
And crypto crashing, China's stepping up on its crackdown on Bitcoin mining as the reality of regulation certainly spooks investors. Jim, I know you were talking about Bitcoin with the Squawk Gang and here during the before we came on the air.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of headwinds now to Bitcoin. Now, Tom DeMarc, who's been the best, saying, listen, it's got to hold 30,000. But there's two headwinds. And one is, I just think that when the PRC goes after something, they tend to have their way. The People's Republic of China, it's not a democracy, it's a dictatorship. But then I keep thinking about the FBI and ransomware and what happened with Colonial. We know Colonial. How many have we not found out? We know that then people must be paying ransomware. So how about if the FBI goes to, say, the IRS and goes to the Justice Department and says, listen, we can't control this. Then they refer to the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve doesn't want Bitcoin. And then they decide, you know what, no more ransomware. Just like you're not supposed to pay kidnapping, we're going to use the same application. David, the next thing you know is that instead of thinking that Bitcoin should go up, if it's outlawed, right? Or if it's made tougher to be mining, Bitcoin goes down as if people are saying, I got to redeem.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing when less of something is being mined and the price actually goes down as opposed to up.
It would be the eye of a gold. You would say, wow, right. There's less gold.
Closing down 90% of the gold mines would typically bring the price
higher. How else could it reason it goes going down?
Your argument is that China may be trying to crush it as a use case.
Yes.
Period.
Absolutely. And China, President Xi is different. And we all seem to think that we're dealing with the old communist China, which is that if you do something bad, they'll come after you hard. But now they're just asserting their strength everywhere. If they don't like Bitcoin, they go after the town where that has hydropower and says, hey, listen, we don't want to do this. It's kind of like Jack Ma, David. Remember when you found Jack Ma?
So anyway, Jim Cramer's saying, hey, yeah, I sold all my Bitcoin. I'm out. I don't need it anymore. I don't need it. I'm done. And it all around this China story. China's renewed crypto crackdown, wiping nearly $300 billion off the market, says Bitcoin slides. Bitcoin, Ether, XRP, everything else falling. What are they doing? They're going after the banks. That's what China's doing. But these headlines aren't new. These headlines are the exact same headlines from 2015, 2017. But this time, I guess they're enforcing it. And I feel bad. I must admit, I feel bad for the families of the miners, you know, who like set up these different nodes and set up. This is their livelihood. And China's just like, we're done. So they're going to, you know, try to fill out their own cryptocurrency. Good luck with that. All this does, though, is it pushes the mining to the United States, pushes it to other jurisdictions that are cleaner. This is of course why we're seeing a big piece of this dip, but we're also just seeing a lot of the institutionals coming in and making these big moves. And a lot of the retail investors are just getting squeezed out, just getting pushed out. And, it's knocked things to a new level, and it's going to continue. I mean, it's going to continue. We're going to see these ups and downs. We're going to see these swings in the market. I think the important thing is to not be scared about it. I mean, I'm not buying anything right now. I'm waiting for this to settle down. I'm waiting for I'm waiting for Bitcoin to make its move again and to start to see that surge again. But you're seeing all of these institutional investors right now who have the opportunity that they didn't have before, which is to get into Bitcoin at a cheap price. They're pissed that they didn't get in at 20,000. They're mad that they didn't get in. They're mad that they didn't get in like Elon and these other people. Now they have the opportunity, and they have the firepower and the market manipulation power to jump into this stuff, and that's exactly what's going to happen. So now's an opportunity to sit back and watch this dust settle in crypto, see where this stuff shakes out, and then really start investing, in my opinion, in the projects that have a lot of strength, the Bitcoins, the Ethereums, the Cardanos, the things where the things are going to be built upon.
When
Dot,
was the
Link?
When is the government planning to launch their crypto? Because is this the timing thing? Is the timing like, hey, let's crash Bitcoin and other crypto before we launch ours so that ours is better?
I mean, at the end of the day, there's really, the Federal Reserve has already spoken about Bitcoin. I mean, it already sees it as property. You know, it does not see it as currency. And therefore, it doesn't see it as competition. Of course, that could all change, right? But the U.S. government's still dragging its hands and feet on putting in form their own digital currency. So China's already there. China already has their own digital currency, right? The U.S. is still trying to work on their own FedNow digital currency. It's not there yet. So they've still got a lot of work to do on this. So, and we're going to hear it today. I mean, Fed Chief Jay Powell, as we look at the markets this morning, Fed Chief Jay Powell is going to be testifying in front of Congress today. He published his early comments saying that inflation is, quote, notable, but it's not going to last. The markets like those comments over the past 24 hours. The other members of the Fed seem to be on the same page with this. Fed Williams, senior Fed official, said, this is John Williams, said that he doesn't see that we need to move anything yet on a policy shift. He said the economy was not yet ready for the central bank to start pulling back its hefty monetary support, even though the outlook has become rosier. Williams said that the economy was getting better all the time in some of his most bullish comments since the pandemic started. But he insisted that the Fed would stick to the term limits, or the limits of its monetary policy framework, which was introduced in late August. And he says, you know, it sets a high bar for tightening policy. He said it's clear that the economy is improving at a rapid rate and the medium-term outlook is very good, he said. It's very good. So again, today we're going to hear from Fed Chief Jerome Powell testifying in front of Congress. Questions about inflation. What are we going to, you know, he didn't mention in his early comments anything about tapering, anything about pulling back on funneling money to Wall Street. So Wall Street will continue to get its $120 billion in purchasing of these junk bonds and mortgage-backed securities and all of this other crap that keeps Wall Street burning and churning. And the Fed doesn't look like it's going to pull its foot off the gas anytime soon, even though we're seeing, you know, real growth inside the economy right now. We're going to talk about infrastructure stimulus and when those new round of stimulus checks are supposed to be rolling out in mid-July. We'll get to that in a second. First, I want to tell you about our friends over at Truebill. Truebill is amazing, can save you a boatload of money if you use them. And here's how what they do. A lot of people don't even realize like all of the hidden, you know, subscriptions that they have that you guys are subscribed to. Most people don't even know about it. Most people don't know that they've got subscriptions from Netflix and other places, and they just forgot that they even have this stuff floating around, right? 80% of people have subscriptions that they've totally forgotten about. If you're one of them, then here's how you can save some money. Truebill is the smartest way to manage your finances. Easy-to-use app, review your recurring charges all in one place. Cancel your subscriptions directly through the app. They have a variety of tools to help customers improve their finances. They work with many of the nation's top providers to negotiate and lower your bills, including AT&T, T-Mobile, Spectrum. They have bank-level security. People think they spend around $80 a month on subscriptions, but they actually spend closer to $200 a month. Truebill has saved its users more than $50 million. So, the average person saves $720 per year with Truebill. Get started today at truebill.com/invest. Take control of your finances and start saving at truebill.com/invest. That's truebill.com/invest. Our thanks to Truebill for their support of the show. All right, we got to talk about what's going on in the stimulus package. Some big news, some interesting news overnight from the White House on this. And we're going to get to some troubling pieces of this in a second. So in mid-July, most of you notice, or maybe you don't know, that in July, those $300 stimulus checks will start rolling out. These are the child tax credit payments, so you need to register for those. And it is childtaxcredit.gov. So here is the website. You must go here, guys. Okay? Childtaxcredit.gov. Okay? Childtaxcredit.gov. And you can also just go to whitehouse.gov and it'll be redirected there. And that's how you can register. $3,000 is $3,600 per child for nearly all working families. Automatic monthly payments for nearly all working families. It's part of the American Families Plan. And you can sign up right there on the website. They've actually done a really nice job with this website for once, you know, I will say. And they give different examples here on the website, like what families would look like if you're, you know, married, two children, that's probably, under the age of six.
Probably because it didn't cost $1 billion to make it.
Exactly. Like healthcare.gov, which was, you know, I mean, spend $1 billion on a website and it doesn't even work. Come on, man.
Like, wow, we hired these people on Fiverr and look how good this is.
Right. Look how nice. This is really nice. It's like a really nice website. Good job. So here's how you register, childtaxcredit.gov. Go there so you can start registering for this. But that's coming out in a few weeks. So you need to register for that to make sure you're on getting those payments. But next, let's talk about where things stand with the actual infrastructure and jobs bill that's been moseying its way through Congress right now. White House officials today are going to the Capitol. They're going to be meeting with a bipartisan group around the $1.2 trillion infrastructure proposal. And there's been a fresh push by President Biden to find a compromise with Republican senators on this. Last night, we heard from Rob Portman from Ohio, who indicated that he and the so-called Group of 20 would be trying to advance the talks before the Senate leaves for the July 4th recess. They're going to try to get this done, or at least a good rough draft down where they all agree, and now they just have to work out some of the minor specifics, okay? That's a goal before July 4th. Good, good. We'll see if that actually happens. If today's meeting goes well, Biden is inclined to meet with the senators to try to advance the talks, okay? If it goes well, then he'll try to take it one step further. Last night, he hosted Senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema separately, separate meetings. She of Arizona, he of West Virginia. They're both sort of moderate Democrats, might as well call them Republicans. If we want to go big picture on this, the Senate negotiators for the bipartisan infrastructure bill are trying to create momentum for a too-big-to-fail package by adding an equal number of Democratic and Republican co-sponsors so that they'd be both in this thing to win it, okay? Both Republicans and Democrats, we're in it to win it. We're on the same page. We're going to give and take, but we're in it. We're not going to try to do this through reconciliation, okay? Now, I'm painting a picture here for you because I think this is incredibly important about what they're trying to do here. See, progressives remain leery. They're aiming for much more spending, potentially in multiple packages. Senator Elizabeth Warren said that she wants a package that it must include child care. She said, if child care is left on the platform, I will not be getting on that train. She said also clean energy has to be a part of this, or I do not get on that train. Good for her. What about raising taxes on people making less than $400,000 a year? What about raising gas taxes on people? Well, Senator Hickenlooper, my favorite senator last names, by the way, speaking just short time ago about this gas tax, right? Because we've been saying here on the show, like, all right, $400,000 a year, like you're not going to raise taxes on people below that. But what about gas taxes? That hits everyone right in the wallet. That's a tax. Hickenlooper says that's a done deal. No raising gas taxes. The president does not want to do that. That's off the table.
Force.
I think President Biden has been clear that that's off the table, that he wants to make sure we're not going to raise any kind of revenue from working people, and that would include raising the gas tax. So, yeah, I think that's clearly off the table.
Okay, good. All right, so we're clear on that. So you heard it here. That's off the table.
But the thing is, like, look at... They just had this whole big, you know, internet scare where they had to, you know, barrels of oil were because the company that held them hostage or whatever for the payment. Gas prices still have not gone down, and that's been fixed. They're still up as high as right. They were. So we're getting a tax anyway.
And higher. They're at a 2-year high now.
Yeah. And
is at a 2-year high.
So saying that they're going to do it with a tax, they're already probably doing it. And we're just like, hey, there's oil prices, gas prices went up because of the. Hackers.
Well, and that's the thing. We talk about reliance. Again, here's another reason to not be reliant on foreign oil, right? We've been dealing with OPEC pricing. We've been dealing with all this, you know, supply and demand. They produce too much of it. They literally had to pay people during the pandemic to take barrels of oil and put them in their house, basically. Like, they were paying people. They couldn't even have, because they didn't have, they were like, we're not going to stop production. We're just going to keep making it. So we're going to pay you to hold this stuff. And now... I mean, this is another example. Like, we should be rewarding clean energy. We should be rewarding people who are driving, you know, electric vehicles, who are doing things to make the environment, you know, how they live more sustainable. And instead, you're hearing from some Republicans like Susan Collins of Maine that we'll tax people who drive electric vehicles because they're not paying a gas tax. Most asinine thing I've ever heard. Ridiculous. That's like taxing people who don't get cancer. You know, it's like, okay, so you ate healthy. You did things that kept your body healthy. You didn't smoke. We're going to tax you because you didn't, you know, we charge people a lot on the cigarette tax. So because you don't smoke.
It's like, you know what? Hey, like, thanks to the people that are driving electric vehicles, you're going to get to drive your gas vehicles a little bit longer.
Right. For another few years.
Yeah. Damn tree huggers.
But there is something really interesting emerging right now in this infrastructure. I'm going to try to unpack this. And I want you to try to pay attention. And if you have any questions here in the chat, I want you to ask them. Put them up here on the screen. It's a little complicated, but you're not going to see this covered on any of the mainstream media. Because there's something troubling emerging in these infrastructure negotiations that I want to unpack a little bit. And I've been thinking it's been weird over the past few weeks on this show. Like, why are they trying to work with Republicans on this? Like, I don't get it. And then it just hit me, and I can't believe I didn't already think about this. And the mainstream media won't cover this because they're busy kissing up to Wall Street. So first of all, here's why. We don't have a lot of details yet as to what's in this stimulus package, do we? Why do you think that's the case? I'll ask you guys watching right now. Why do you think it is the case that we have almost zero information about what's going to be in this stimulus package, this infrastructure package? Come on, anybody?
Isn't that anybody? Always their answer to everything? Like, wait till it passes and then you'll see?
Well, that's, yeah, sometimes it is. But you've hit on this a couple of times, David. Let's see if our viewers can get this. Like, why don't we know? Like, you know, just think, I want you to put this in terms of a defense budget. Okay, we always pass a 700. Belinda says, when do they make sense? Exactly, good question. But think about when we pass a defense budget, right? $720 billion defense budget. The public doesn't hear anything about it. It's signed, sealed, and delivered. It's voted on. Republicans and Democrats, glad-handing, clapping, done. Hey, defense budget signed, done. Money to contractors, boom, it's done. We don't need to dig into this thing. We don't need to look in the paperwork, the fine print, let the American people know what's in this. So why do you think right now that we haven't heard anything, details, what's in this infrastructure package? And both sides are being cagey and quiet about it.
Because it does contain military budget increases?
Probably not, but it probably includes a lot of lining of special interest pockets and Wall Street and private investor pockets.
Now, well, that's what I just said that the other day. Just wait and see, yeah. Because you'll see when they pass it. Like, the only way they're all going to agree and be like, hey, we're all on board. We just had meetings with the Republicans and everything. Everybody's on board. You can guarantee that their buddies are getting taken care of more than we are.
Yeah. And it's even more nefarious than that. So let me go a little deeper in this. So here's the secret as to why they're, yeah, exactly, Edward, because it contains sweetheart deals for donors in many ways. So here, why they're trying to work on this together, it's because they get to hide a whole bunch of stuff in there that you're going to pay for. And if you knew about it, you'd be pissed and you wouldn't want them to put this stuff in the bill. But the really scary piece of this is called the public-private partnership section. So I don't want to lose you on this, but this is really important. It's called the public-private partnerships, private activity bonds, and asset recycling. Okay. So what this means is basically that these lawmakers would sell these pieces off of the infrastructure in fire sales to private financiers. Like, hey, this bridge, oh, going once, going twice, going sold to that company over there. You're gonna privately finance this bridge. And what's gonna happen is we have lots of experience with infrastructure privatization. It's always a mess. Let me just give you an example. We've had, for instance, in water systems, we've had private ownership of roads, water systems, electrical grids. Have we had any trouble with electrical grids lately? When there's private financiers involved? I don't know. Here's Texas. An example. Let me just give you an example. Yeah, Texas, right, example. So this has happened a lot. Let me give you an example of why this is such a problem. The city of Chicago, what we do is we as a city don't have enough money to take these things on ourselves, right? So we're not raising taxes on rich people. Republicans have already removed that from the table, okay? So we're not going to raise taxes on rich people. How are we going to pay for this then? We're basically going to offer off these projects to private financiers. But because they're giving us money for a government project, we are, as taxpayers, going to give them an additional 10% bonus, like in a tax break, basically. The city of Chicago, here's a perfect example. And no one's going to talk about this. You will not see this on Fox. You will not see this on MSNBC because everyone is in the can for this. Democrats and Republicans are happy about this. They make a lot of money.
Well,
and city, let me give you an example. The city of Chicago sold off 36,000 parking meters to a Wall Street group. in 2009. They got $1.5 billion from this Wall Street group to fix some of their budget holes, right? They had no choice, right? So they sell off all these parking meters. Now, Chicago drivers will pay $11 billion over 75-year life of this deal to park to this Wall Street group. Now, guess what? The fees are scheduled to rise as much as 800% over the course of this time. So they just get this. This is built in. The city has no control over it now. Wall Street does. Okay? When the city shuts down a street for a festival or a parade, or it has to pay private companies to come in to fix a sidewalk, guess what the city has to do because they've now shut down the street? And the Wall Street company is not making money off those parking meters for the week or so that they're fixing the street. Guess what has to happen? Chicago has to pay Wall Street the money that they lost for the week of the road being closed in parking meter fees. Hey, we're fixing a road. You're not making your money off of the meters, so we have to pay you on Wall Street to fix the street. Who pays for that? Taxpayers.
Well, and that was the point I was going to bring up with. So, like, think about the CARES Act. They called it the CARES Act, and they hem-hawed and fought and filibustered and everything about the amount that we got. So it's like, is it going to be $900 billion? Is it going to be $800 billion? But there wasn't a word said about the $5 trillion of our money that they stole from us and sent to people who didn't need it. They sent it to, what, like 800 different businesses, I think, got like $5 trillion, and we got the scraps right. of whatever they decided was best for us. That's the part they fought over, but nobody said a word about the $5 trillion that went to companies. It's the same thing. No. And so they call it the CARE Act because they put in this one thing that they're like, we know the people are going to want this. They're going to want this. So let's argue publicly about this part of it, but let's hide this other stuff. And that's how they do it.
Yeah. They don't. Republicans and Democrats didn't. And the reason they were able to cram it through so quickly is because all these guys made so much money. All these Wall Street guys made so much money, and Republicans were totally happy about it. So were Democrats. Look, they're all corporatists. So, like, when a city shuts, I mean, this is amazing, right? So, like, in Chicago, this is just one example. This happens all the time. The city can't make improvements like add bike lanes or sidewalk widening on any of the metered streets that they paid this Wall Street company for. Again, because the privatizers might lose revenue. Indianapolis gave a similar 50-year lease on its downtown parking meters to a subsidiary of Xerox, using the money to build a giant downtown parking garage. So they built an asset, basically. That's what Indianapolis did. I've parked in that parking garage. The garage, on average, is only full 5.5% during the year. 5.5%. It's like, doesn't do anything. Doesn't make any money. So they sold off all of... And that's what this infrastructure package is going to do. Now, here's the thing. In fact, Democrats hated the idea of doing these public-private partnerships under Trump. Trump loved them. Democrats absolutely said no way that was, we can't do it. It's wrong. It just lines the pockets of Wall Street. So Democrats were outspoken against these public-private partnerships. Trump loved it. Republicans love it because it's big business. They get to make money, right? Now that President Biden is there, suddenly Democrats are happy to work with Republicans on these public-private partnerships. Amazing. Wow. How's this happen? And what's driving the conversation right now are these moderate Democrats, the Joe Manchins, who are happy to line the pockets of Wall Street, Kristen Sinema, Republicans, Mitt Romney, and Rob Portman and these guys. The politicians who make these deals are usually out of office when the money that it costs to see all of this through actually comes due. They're gone. They're long gone when this finally happens. They'll be out of office. They don't care. Because now we have to suddenly pay for it. Like, the government has to foot the bill to all of these private Wall Street companies to get all this infrastructure to. Dean Thomas Clayton just mentioned parking meters. It's called double taxing. We pay for the roads in the... Yeah, great point. We pay for the roads in the tax, and then we have to pay to park on the streets we already paid for. I mean, Democrats 4 years ago condemned this whole thing. Now they've been totally silent about it. I mean, Bernie Sanders was outspoken about it. And he said he mentioned the privatization in the infrastructure bill this weekend on Meet the Press. So even Bernie Sanders let the cat out of the bag this weekend. He just said, we don't have the details on it right now. So we just don't know. So I can tell you what's going to happen. They're going to be proud that they came together on a bipartisan basis, Democrats and Republicans. We managed to do it. What's in the thing? Don't worry about it. We're just going to pass it. It's going to be really helpful. And then we're going to learn that all of these Wall Street companies made a lot of money. Here's the deal. The most profitable, the reason that this is so problematic, this really irritates me, is that most of these projects are going to be auctioned off to these big Wall Street firms. The most profitable ones are going to benefit rich people. They're going to be brand new bridges, parks, all sorts of things that are going to be money makers for these Wall Street companies. But where the infrastructure really needs to be fixed, like removing of lead pipes in downtrodden communities, it's going to be in communities that are low-income communities, they're going to get screwed because those are not the profitable projects. And so therefore, they're going to get sloughed to the back of the list, basically. It'll be the huge new bridge that gets the biggest. It's going to be the toll roads. Because guess what? Now these Wall Street guys get to make money off the tolls. It's not government. They're private toll roads. So we can auction off these roads. They do it. And then we have to pay for 70 years to these companies in these public-private partnerships. And then fixing lead pipes in schools in Flint, Michigan. No, that's not sexy. How's that profitable for Wall Street? It's not. And then they don't get any sort of recurring revenue from it, by the way. That's the problem. Where are the Democrats here? You know, we don't have enough details to say that the plan, far from just getting a portion of Biden's infrastructure agenda done, would actually actively undermine it. But as David Dayen says, it would fleece the country's public works, the common institutions we all paid to build, allow private companies to control them. You know, like water systems, like other, European countries, when they had the big economic problems a number of years ago, what did they do? They couldn't meet budgets. They were screwed. So what did they do? They reached out to China for money. So the Chinese came in and bought their water systems. So like, you know, people in Italy and Portugal and stuff, people in Italy are really pissed. Like they pay, like their water system is owned by a Chinese company. And they pay like three times as much as they would if the Italian government controlled it. But what was the Italian government to do? They had no money. So they reached out to China to bankroll it. Now they own their water system in Italy and Portugal. Like, what? Okay. Let me know your thoughts on this. Drop me a comment below. But it absolutely irritates the crap out of me. And that's why we're not hearing about it. You know, where the heck are... What's going on with these guys? Why are we not hearing from any Democrats? Democrats turn their back on America. Representative Republicans just want to control America. We have zero representation. Exactly. I don't see it. Show me the representation. Really supporting the people. We've got more news to get to here in a moment.
You got 2 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. I think we're going to have to just push that off. This is the more important show. So I think we're testing these times and I'm going crazy on the infrastructure and I got more news to get to here. I think we'll just push that back a little bit. I got to figure something else out.
Do you have it as a live redirect? Like,
no, I don't.
Okay.
Today. So we'll figure it out. We're talking about the trading show that I'm doing after this live. I want to be there for opening bell, but it looks like it's not going to happen because I got more news to get to today. So we'll get there. I want to talk about Amazon. I'll talk about Instagram. I've got some other stories we want to cover here on the show. So we'll get there. I want to tell you about Scoremaster. So did you know that the average American has 97 points they could add to their credit score, but they have no idea how to get them? I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day whose credit score has been really down, and I told him about Scoremaster, and he was blown away by it. The data scientists at Scoremaster cracked the code on how to figure this out. Adding 97 points to your credit score is like found money. It means first loan approvals, huge discounts, low interest rates on everything from buying or refinancing a home to leasing a new car or applying for a credit card. And how fast is Scoremaster? One member raised his credit score 33 points in 5 days. Another, 43 points in a couple of weeks. Scoremaster is so easy, it takes about a minute to get started. And if you hurry, you can get a score. You can try it for free. Scoremaster for free right now. That's right. Try Scoremaster for free. and see how many plus points that you can add to your credit score. Go to scoremaster.com/invest. You have to use that URL, scoremaster.com/invest. Again, that's scoremaster.com/invest. See how many plus points you can add to your score. So our thanks to Scoremaster. Hey, it's Prime Day. It's the second day of Prime Day. Have you guys bought anything on Amazon Prime Day? Have you? This year I really felt I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it this year. I'm just going to hold off because most of the time it's stuff we don't even need.
I didn't even get anything this year. Not a thing.
Yeah, I didn't either. So it's Prime Day. You have 17 hours left on it. We reported in the newsletter today, once again, all of these workers who are just working slamming hours right now, these drivers who are once again out there being tracked by Amazon, every stop, every move they make to try to get as many packages out and delivered to people as possible. And guess what? They're back to peeing in bottles again because they just frankly do not have enough time to stop off and go to the bathroom. They have to get these packages delivered to people. Like, you have to get this body lotion delivered. You have to get this Prime Day USA jersey. We have to get this sent to us right now. You must get it. So I can't even stop and go to the bathroom if I'm an Amazon employee. I have to get this coffee pot. Let's check out what's so important at Amazon right now. How about a Build-A-Bear stuffed animal $50 Build-A-Bear card? Send that to me. How about a hammock? This is what's so important that these employees can't stop to go to the bathroom. I say if you have any of these orders, Pete, by these Amazon employees that are out delivering, just invite them in. Just say, hey, if you got to stop, come on in here. I know you guys are working really hard. Come on in. If you have to use a bathroom, you need a cup of coffee. Would you like a bottle of water? These people, Amazon won't let them unionize. Amazon tracking every movement. I've gotten plenty of emails now from you guys who've worked for the company that shall not be named, who've told me just some unbelievable stories about what you go through working in places like this. And, this is the consumptive society that we're in. And in many ways, we have to blame ourselves too, right? We're demanding, right, that we get this kind of stuff overnight shipped to us the next day. That's what Amazon's goal is. Not even next day. Amazon's goal is same day delivery. That's their goal. And at what cost? I order a hammock, I need it now, this afternoon. This is one, I need this right now. I can't wait.
Yeah. Most of the time when I'm doing studio builds and things for the studio, I do need things pretty quick and I do take advantage of that, but I totally if it's not something that I'm in a hurry for, I'll generally they add a dollar credit to your account if you let it go. They try to make it so that you don't get it right away too. By giving you dollar or whatever.
I guess they're giving you that incentive, I need this pet fountain immediately. Immediately. Grover is so thirsty that he absolutely is I need this right now. can you have a guy not even get a good paycheck, not even stop to pee? I need to drink water out of a flower pot. That's what I need right now. I need it delivered to my house. Furthermore, I learned a little bit more about Amazon. It's pretty fascinating about why we have Prime Day in the first place. Does anyone know why we have Prime Day? Anyone have any ideas in the chat? See if anyone can name this and figure this out. Why we actually have Prime Day?
To put other businesses out of business, the smaller businesses, because they can't afford to sell things for that cheap?
Close. Wait a minute, they have a live stream?
Yeah, I've been streaming on Amazon.
Really? They're here. They've got their own live stream show. So it's like QVC.
So it is kind of, but what they do is if you are a creator and you create content on Amazon, after you get to a certain rank, they actually put you on the page for some of the products that you're featuring. So like, so let's say I was featuring the Stream Deck that you have for Switching. On the Stream Deck, if somebody did a search for it while I was live, I would be there talking about it and they could ask questions. It's actually kind of cool.
Interesting. So Prime Day started, was the whole reason they started Prime Day was to figure out if their logistics and everything were set up and ready to go for the holidays. That was the only reason they did it. It was like a test run. So they would do it in, I guess, the summer is when they would do it normally, right? And they, so they would do maybe as close to the holidays as possible, and to get everything ready to go. So they, it's, it, it was not meant to be like its own thing, but they did it to test like the logistics of so many people ordering stuff. Could their trucks and everything handle it for the holidays? So, you know, got to order your USA Champions hoodie and have someone deliver it to your house right now. Get there. Do it. It just kind of make, just makes me sick, this like consumptive society that we're in. Like we're all guilty of it. Like no one watching right now, myself included, can be like holier than thou, sanctimonious about it. We've all ordered things and we wished we could have gotten it sooner. But then you have to ask yourself, at what cost? You know, like, you know, it's what is it doing to our environment? What is it doing to these employees? When, and especially when they don't even, our government officials don't allow these people the power to unionize. That's why we need to stand with these people, to allow them, to give them the workers' rights that they deserve, so that they earn a fair wage. They don't have to pee in bottles. You know, that's incredibly troubling to me. Got more news to get to. I want to talk about Instagram this morning. So Facebook stock has been exploding, right? Well, Instagram, new data out this morning shows that sorry, my wife is texting me during the show here. And
hi, Natalie.
I put on the do not disturb. See, I have it set to this focus feature showtime, but like I'm showing my screen and she was complaining about something. Not about me, but she was anyway.
I think you have to go in there and physically turn that off. Like, you have to choose who can text you and who can't, and you might have her as a favorite.
I did. Well, I have you and her.
If you have them set as,
but
favorites,
I might have to delete her.
Yeah.
Just kidding. So, Instagram. New study out this morning shows Instagram reach is down. Is Instagram dying? For years, Instagram is the most popular platform, and Instagram's reach has been huge. Influencers, and so they sold back to Facebook in 2012. Has it been that long? 9 years ago? No.
That's
they
crazy.
Sold it for $1 billion 9 years ago. Right? It was huge. Everyone's like, oh my God, Facebook's going to mess with it. You screw it up. And now it's just really plummeting. But it's been, you know, it's been really down. TikTok taking off, and a lot of things happening right now. Reach and engagement down. Instagram's reach is overall, their organic reach. When you know you're posting stuff organically for the first time, you're hoping that your stuff gets out there. It doesn't. Like, people don't even hardly see it anymore, unless you're paying for ads and stuff. Can you buy reach? How do I increase reach? Organic reach totally in decline. We know that for a while. You can buy, you know, through ads and so forth, and that's really all it is. But is this a big problem? I mean, I just don't even... How many of you guys use Instagram anymore? Like, I used to use it all the time, and I just don't even log into the app anymore. No, people ask me, like, I DM'd you on Instagram. I'm like, oh, I haven't been on there in a month.
I'm mostly active. The platform I'm active on the most is Facebook. And the thing is, like, with Instagram, it's like a side thought. You know, I know it's, like, kind of integrated, but... It's just, to me, it's just pictures. Like, I like variety. So when I'm going through Facebook, I'm seeing videos, pictures, text, you know, things like that. As opposed to Instagram just being pictures. I love pictures, but I just, yeah.
Yeah.
And all I get in messages on Instagram are people wanting me to buy Amazon products and get refunded after my review. I get those all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess we talked about that here on the show before about how Amazon reviews are pretty much bunk, right? Especially in the technology space, I guess, because so many people are doing that. They're just like buying reviews.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. That's ramp. Yeah, it happens on all the time. Like I get emails, I get messages on Facebook, and I get messages on Instagram. And if I had a messaging system on YouTube, I'd get them there too, of people wanting to, what they want you to do is buy the product. And after a 5-star review, they will send you the money via PayPal. And they do. It is legit. But I will not do that. I've never done that. It's an ethics thing for me. Because if the reviews are flawed, then when you go to make a buying decision, I mean, I rely on those reviews.
Right. Yeah. I mean, sadly, that's the thing. I mean, that's the thing with Amazon, with all of this stuff. You hope that it's real, but it's like Yelp reviews. Can you really trust this stuff? It's like, no, I'm just, you know what? I see these reviews. They look like they were like some angry boyfriend of a whatever wrote these things. You know, you can always tell, like the people that have an axe to grind, you know, you know, it's like, these are not legit. So let me just go to the restaurant and figure it out for myself. You know, let me give it a try. There's a lot of hackers and scammers on Instagram, Wendy says. Yeah, I mean, I think there's people that set up the fake profiles. People have fake profiles of me on Telegram. I mean, I saw somebody, I don't know, like a big social media influencer saying like, oh, I'm probably going to I'm leaving social media for a while. I'm like, okay, so you announced that on social media that you're leaving social media for a while? Like, just, who cares?
Right, just leave.
Not that important.
Like, okay, bye.
I got news for you. None of us are that important. None of us. Who cares about us other than our family, right? Our immediate family. Come on. Like, I love my viewers, but I mean, let's be honest. If I disappeared tomorrow, would you be upset? Maybe. I like to think maybe you would, but you don't need to not integrate Instagram influencers, right? I use TikTok once in a while. I used to use it a lot more. I don't know. I mean, I think more than anything is YouTube, you know, that's like my YouTube, and I'm on, you know, I do Facebook stuff. We do Facebook lives on there as well. And I guess Twitch a little bit, right? I don't know.
Yeah. Facebook's my favorite. It's still my demographic. You know, it's still the older people using it mostly. And I'm not the 15-second generation, you know, like that kind of thing. Like I don't like the shortest attention span content. Now there's some brilliant creators on TikTok. And what I found is if I go in there and I watch, I'm there for like 2 hours. So I do not open that app.
I try not to, because that's what happens to me. I go down rabbit holes. And I just like, I just watched a guy walk into a wall 3 times. Like I needed to see it 3 times. You know, like, and then, okay, that was 4 minutes of my life wasted where I could have been like making money. I could have been learning something. I could have been studying. I could have been trading. I could have been, you know, I don't know. I could have been investing. I could have been helping you guys by creating content, doing something. And instead, I've just wasted that. Now, there's a lot to be said for just, you know, kicking back and relaxing, right? And taking your mind off of stuff and just like zoning out, right? Mindlessly watching a Netflix show. Let your mind do some resting a little bit, you know, but it's
look
just
at that comment.
Time suck. Oh, Lila Bay, I was introduced to you on TikTok. Well, thank you so much. I know I used to use it a lot more, but I find like, I don't know, the platform, it's a little maddening, you know? So I'm going to TikTok to me, I think it has a lot of value because I can do like a 15-second or a 1-minute clip around a particular topic that is, you know, that is interesting or that I find useful. But it's really hard to take off and get a lot of eyeballs unless you're doing something where you're doing backflips off of a bridge. You know, you know, it's like, I don't know. And I don't want it to be like, I want it to be useful for people. And that's kind of a hard thing. But anyway, Instagram, I just don't even use it anymore. So, and that's the thing, I just see where the kids go. Like my daughter never touches Instagram. She's 8 or she's 9. She's all about TikTok, you know? So there's no way she's like, I don't care about Instagram. And
it's
she's
so
certainly
funny.
Not using Facebook.
It's so funny when you see, like, because in my neighborhood, every once in a while, I'll look, like, at the edge of the neighborhood, and you'll see girls out there with their phones doing their TikTok dances and stuff. It's just kind of funny. You see that everywhere now.
Oh, my little girl does that, too. She loves it. And she does, like, little funny skits, you know, and she does with, like, Roblox characters and stuff and little funny memes and stuff. So, you know. So she has fun with it, and she loves the dances, and shows she knows new songs about it. My son can't be bothered with it. My son's like, I want to go play Fortnite. I don't want to, you know, I don't care about TikTok. Because I think the girls just like the dancing and all that, which is fine. I don't know. I just, anyway, Facebook, it's going to be interesting to see Facebook. Facebook's so stock. I mean, they are just untouchable. Like, we were covering here on the show how they were going to handle this whole Apple privacy issue with iOS 15. Or iOS 14.5, whatever it was, right? Where it was going to basically say, hey, do you want this app to track you? And it turns out like 97% of all app track people are like, no, I don't want you tracking me. And that was going to be a huge detriment to Facebook's business. Turns out in their most like recent quarter, their earnings, no, it's not. Like, how do you can't stop them. You know, if you want to do ads targeted to a specific town, you only want to, you know, target like a certain demographic for your business. You only want people who are single dog owners who live in this zip code who like candy, you know, like you can find them on Facebook. Like, their targeting is top notch.
When I had my company, I was the CEO of a tech startup. Well, founder, I created it or whatever. All I did was ran Facebook ads, and I literally ran almost $1 million through my company in 3 years just using Facebook ads. That's the only source of leads I used. And I was spending about $300 a day to make about $700 to $800 a day.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we would do for our company. We don't really use them much anymore, but for Morris Invest, like we would target basically investors who were interested in investing, like in buying, you know, real estate investors. Who we think would be who maybe have invested in the past or had, you know, in retirement plans or whatever. I don't even know what our team does that. I don't even know. And when we first started doing it, yeah, I mean, it was like it was amazing how you could get so granular, and no one can even come close to that. I mean, Google can try, but they just do not have it. They don't have the granularity that Facebook has.
They removed the behavioral data, but there's still, like, you can still go into interests and stuff. It's still pretty targeted.
Yeah, for sure. But anyway, Instagram's dying, apparently.
Buy Instagram.
Buy Instagram. We always say that things are dying, but look at Twitter. Twitter is, like, seeing a resurgence. By the way, you guys follow me on Twitter? Clayton Morris over on Twitter. You guys got to come and follow me. I post over there all the time. I was the first person at Fox when I was there, on Twitter. Like, I had to teach other people how to use Twitter, at Fox. I was the first person in the building. So yeah, come follow me over on Twitter. Say hello, Clayton Morris over there.
They're getting ready to launch a bunch of new features. Twitter Blue, I think it's going to be called, where they might give you the edit post feature. For the first time. And they're going to be doing newsletters and other things like that for people who buy Twitter Blue. I think it's a great idea.
And it's so interesting because there, you know, we have 8 viewers right now on Twitter watching us live. And I guess through the Periscope function, they were supposed to be getting rid of that now. Are they getting rid of that, or what's the deal?
Yeah, it's gone. It's just Twitter now, but it's still the same connection. So we got lucky there because I wasn't sure what the heck was going to happen.
Well, I want to get you here out of here on this story. So can you guys name, first of all, a little quiz here. You know, it's summertime. Yesterday, first day of summer, ice cream. You know the sound. You don't happen to have that sound effect, do you, of like the ice cream truck? Is there any way you can find that? Like, with that, we always had the different sound effect for the different ice cream trucks, you know? But you could hear it coming down the road, have the windows open in Pennsylvania, and we used to run outside and bug our parents. And of course, the ice cream truck people, they knew where the kids lived, right? So they purposely would come down those roads, and we would all run outside to rush to the ice cream truck. New study out this morning tells us the number one, let's do the top five highest selling, most popular ice cream truck treat overall. There it is.
We'll play this for the story.
Doesn't it? It also could be like a start of like a Stephen King clown movie, yeah. Right? Like, hey.
Look in your closet, children.
Hey, kids. Yeah, sure. It's safe to go outside and play this afternoon. You hear that? That was the one that I heard growing up, that first one. I never heard this one. This sounds like one that you'd hear at the beach or something, I guess. But anyway, all right, let's see if you guys can name here. Number five on the list. Number five, can you guys just vote in the chat right now? Put in your chat answers for most popular ice cream truck treat of all time.
You know what I'm going to guess?
This is over the past 12 months. So this is like how tastes have changed, I guess. This isn't like us growing up. This is current. This is current over the past 12 months.
I was going to say when I was growing up, I would guess it was probably that Rocket Pop or whatever, the red, white, and blue popsicle with the...
Good.
That's the good one I question. Got all the time.
Rocket Pop. Yeah. Or, you know, or the Firecracker, whatever it's called, Firecracker, right? This one.
Yes, the Firecracker. Firecracker. That's the one, yep.
What? But I love that there's Bomb Pop. It's like the same thing, but just, red on top. What's the Firecracker?
Well,
like,
that's no, still
I'm
number
a,
one.
I'm more of a Bomb Pop. No, this is based by state. So, All right, I'm giving you guys a chance here. What do you guys think? So you guys can name these here. I'll give you number five on the list because I don't see anything in here in the chat.
Hey, you can't say bomb on YouTube.
Pull it up on my screen. Oh, I can't? Okay. Can't say.
Can't say bomb on a plane. Well, what if I'm a bombardier? Bomb. Remember that?
Firecracker. Okay, number five on the list is Lemon Ice. Remember Lemon Ice?
I never got lemon ice as a kid because I didn't really like lemon as much back then. But then I started getting lemon ice cream at this homemade ice cream store. And now lemon ice cream is my favorite ice cream of all time with a cone.
Sounds delicious. There's the I grew up in Philadelphia area, so we would have the Italian water ice. And Italian water ice is amazing. So lemon ice. Okay, that was number five on the list. Number four on the list is ice cream sandwich.
I love
ice
those.
Cream sandwich. Number three on the list. I never got one of these. I don't know why that this is so popular, but the Choco Taco. You as a taco fan, I would think that you would be a huge Choco Taco fan, wouldn't you?
I don't remember if they had those on any of the trucks that I had. Like a Choco Taco, if I would see that now somewhere, hell yeah, I'd be on board. Well, I don't remember that as a kid.
I don't either.
I just wanted that damn Rocket Pop.
I always remember like seeing them thinking like, who orders a Choco Taco? Like, that's not refreshing to me. Like, if it's a hot day, I don't want to eat something that I would want for dinner. You know, like as a kid, I don't want like, I don't know. It just seems weird. Like on a hot day, I want something like the Firecracker.
Yeah. My two go-tos were that and the Fudgesicles. Like those are the pretty much the only two. My mom didn't like when we got Fudgesicles though, because we'd get the chocolate everywhere. But what she didn't realize is we were getting the Rocket Pop everywhere too. You just couldn't see it.
Yeah. I used to get snow cones. That was my thing. The snow cone in the white cup that would always drip through the bottom. Like that was my thing.
Yeah. Jennifer.
Firecracker is...
If Jennifer sees snow cones anywhere, she's like, she's got to get one. That's like still her favorite thing. The shaved ice.
Shaved ice with sugar water over it. But by the way, if you're ever in Philadelphia, you got to get a true Italian water ice. That's a totally different experience. So delicious. If she likes like snow cones, go to Philadelphia and do like the real deal. It's amazing. Go to the Italian market and get one. All right. Number two on the list is your favorite is the Firecracker.
Yay.
And number one, and can you guys still, can you guys guess the number one? And by the way, this in the state that I'm from, Pennsylvania, it is the number one treat in Pennsylvania. It's their number one by state. I guess Pennsylvania.
And you're talking now, not back in the day, right?
Yeah. Now.
I'm going to guess it's something like
popular.
like a SpongeBob or a Dora or something, like some kind of character, sickle or some kind is what I'm going to guess.
Close. New York is SpongeBob, but nope. The number one is the Klondike bar.
What? They serve those on ice cream trucks?
Yeah. Klondike bar. Number one. And by the way, by state, it's broken down too. So there's your fudge sickle. I used to love the fudge sickle. That's it. Drumstick. I used to get that a lot.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about those. I never liked
my
the nuts.
Favorite was the creamsicle. Yeah, that's true. The creamsicle, that orange creamsicle, I love that. So New York State, their number one treat in New York is SpongeBob ice cream pop. like, what the heck? All right, New York. Oh, the push pop. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Push pops. Now, I used to get those from the store, never from the ice cream truck. My mom would buy, because I wasn't a huge fan of, I think that's sherbet in there, right? Sherbet or whatever you call it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah.
And I wasn't a big malt cup. Sherbet fan.
Who got a malt cup? What are you, 80 years old?
Give me that malt cup. Yeah, hold on. I got to get that from the back of the freezer.
Growing up in downtown Baltimore, I used to run out and get myself a malt cup. Grandpa, what are you talking about? What is a malt cup?
I don't know what the hell you're talking about. What kid is going to order a malt cup?
Right. Get a malt cup.
Now, if they named it sugar malt cup, maybe.
Well, it's like malted milk balls. Who wants that either?
Oh, I love those. Whoppers?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That always seemed like a chalky mess. Like,
yeah. So whenever I get a chocolate shake to me, whenever I get a chocolate shake, I like it malted. I like a malted chocolate shake best. Oh.
Hmm. That is like a grandpa treat. Here it is by state too. Like these are, see if your state's on the map. We put this in the newsletter this morning. We loved it. Pennsylvania, number 11 with the Klondike bar. See if you can spot your state here. See, zoom out a little bit here. Yeah.
Washington with Klondike bar also. No, number 9, ice cream sandwich.
Fudgesicle. And, Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait. I know what states are. Oregon, I'm in Washington. I am the fudgesicle.
You're in Washington. You're a fudgesicle.
Nice. I'll take
Pennsylvania,
that.
11, the Klondike bar. But again, look at number 17, New York. SpongeBob ice cream pop. Like, what's wrong with you New Yorkers? Like, I would think it would be like fudgesicle or, what would be like a good New York one, you know?
The malt cup.
Maybe, yeah. I would, or like Choco Taco, you would think that would be, yeah. Oh, I was going to say it was probably down south or like out west. Look at that. The Choco Taco, Arizona and Nevada and Utah.
That's funny.
Like right by Mexico.
Indiana and Michigan, Choco Taco too.
Yeah. And Ohio. Oh, no, that's Indiana. Sorry.
Yeah.
And Virginia.
Come on, learn your states, anyway, man.
I know. I know them by their fudgesicles. That'd be a great way to learn. That's how they should teach this in school. Like, forget like what the state bird is. Like, what's their favorite ice cream treat from an ice cream truck?
Exactly.
There you go, everyone. Subscribe to the show. If you're new here, please hit subscribe. We do the show live every day at 9 a.m. Eastern time. I think I'm going to jump over and do some live trades on our other live stream. If you'd like to join me there, you can. I will kick that one off and go do that. I think I'm going to do that. Now it's like a half hour late. Do I get dinged for that? Does it matter? Doesn't matter. Does it?
It won't matter.
I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, thank you guys so much for subscribing to the show. Don't forget to, hey, if you guys want 2 free stocks, you can get 2 free stocks just by going to morninginvest.com/Webull. And when you go to Webull, you're going to get those 2 free stocks after you sign up and deposit in the account. That's the account that I use to do my trading. And it's really great. So go to morninginvest.com/Webull, get 2 free stocks just for signing up and making that deposit. They have 0 commission trades. They allow you to do crypto trading right now, stock, options, ETFs, ADRs, everything. They've got a really great dashboard that I use for my trading as well. So check them out if you're interested in getting those two free stocks. Morninginvest.com/Weeble. Thank you for joining us, everyone. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Now, go out there and grab some ice cream. See ya. Grover and I are going to go down and get some ice cream.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.